Appreciate everyone's presence this evening. When they put in the bulletin this morning that I was going to be speaking tonight, I was afraid we wouldn't have anyone back tonight, but we have a pretty good attendance, and I appreciate your presence. Bill Johnson was scheduled to be the speaker tonight, and he called me kind of late last week and said that he had a good friend whose wife was at the point of death, and he said he wanted to have somebody on standby just in case she did pass away, that they had wanted him to preach the funeral. And I told Judy, I said, well, it's very unlikely that that circumstance will develop. And then Friday night at Joe's visitation, he told me that she had passed away and he would be preaching her funeral this afternoon. And he said, I'll just not be able to get back from McKaysville in time for the 5 o'clock service. So he asked me to fill in for him this evening. And I'm glad to do that. I appreciate the opportunity. Our subject tonight is going to be citizenship. I think it's appropriate right now, considering the fact that we're approaching a presidential election, that we talk about citizenship. Now, I see a few worried looks on your face. I'm not going to be talking politics tonight, although I do have some opinions, but I'm thankful that the Lord is in charge. And rulers are appointed, as we're going to see later in our talk tonight, are appointed of God. And we can trust Him to do the right thing, the thing that will accomplish His purpose. It may not always be what we expect or maybe what we want, but God will take care of things. And we can depend on Him that God makes the right decision. But you know, I'm glad to be a citizen of the United States. We live in a great country because our country has been founded on Christian principles. We have freedoms that we enjoy, and we've been greatly blessed. Our country has been blessed really beyond measure. I know many of you have traveled to foreign countries, maybe on missionary trips, and you've seen in other countries where they do not have the blessings that we have. Maybe it's in economic prosperity, or maybe it's just in freedoms. But whatever, a lot of these other countries just do not have the great blessings that we have. So I'm really glad to be a citizen of the United States, where we have freedom, where we have a constitution that grants us freedom and has such things as the Bill of Rights, where we have freedom of speech and freedom of the press, and especially freedom of religion. Tonight, we don't have to worry about our government coming in the back door and dragging us out as the early church did, when the Jews would, and even Saul of Tarsus would come in and drag people out and take them to prison, or in some cases would put them to death. So we live in a great country, and I'm glad to be a part of the United States of America. Many of us, I'm sure, have been disappointed over the last recent years when things seem to be going against Christian freedom. We have atheists that are almost at war with Christianity. And we've adopted some policies in our country that are contrary to the scriptures. I know a few years ago, we had a part of our youth group that traveled to Washington to see the buildings and the monuments that had inscriptions regarding the scripture and the founding of our country on Christian principles. But we're, in a lot of ways, we're getting away from that. And I think that's disappointing to us, and we pray that we'll return to those Christian principles, and our nation will be lifted up once again. So we're praying for that, and we hope that our country turns around from the course that it's taking now in drifting away from these Christian principles that we were founded on. In the Bible, Paul recognized his earthly citizenship. If you want to read about Paul and his citizenship, you can read in Acts about the middle of chapter 22 through 26. There's different references there to Paul and his citizenship. In those scriptures in the book of Acts there, the Jews had plotted to kill Paul. And on one occasion, he was taken before a Roman tribune. And there he, as the Jews had plotted to kill him, he presented a defense. And he used his citizenship as a defense against the Jews that wanted to kill him. He said, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" So you can see that our earthly citizenship, even like in the case of Paul, our earthly citizenship matters. It's something that I think is important to us. And later, Paul, when he was before Festus, was able to appeal to Caesar as a Roman citizen. And he said to the church at Philippi later on that that decision to appeal to Caesar because of his citizenship, he told the church at Philippi that it had served to advance the gospel. So there is an opportunity for us, based on our citizenship, to advance the gospel. And the first point that we want to make is that our citizenship is important to us, and it carries a great responsibility. We mentioned a while ago we're living in a free country. And in our free country, we have an opportunity, and this is a golden opportunity that God has granted to the United States, that we have an opportunity to proclaim the gospel, that we can proclaim the gospel in our country without fear. Basically, now we know that in some places they're trying to cut out the proclamation of the gospel. The government has said that you can't have prayers at football games and things of that nature. So that's the way that we're drifting away. But by and large, we have the opportunity to proclaim the gospel. We also have the opportunity to fund missionaries. We've had people from our congregation that have gone to different places, to Nicaragua and to Panama and to Jamaica and various places, in proclaiming the gospel, and we've been able to, as a congregation, as in some individuals, to fund those missionary trips. And in our country, we are free to live our life as an example of Christ and to uphold Christ and to teach His principles and the precepts of the Word of God, and what a great blessing that is. As Christians, we have a responsibility to the civil government. In Romans, the 13th chapter, Paul says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God." And that's what I mentioned earlier, that we can be glad that God is going to set up the government that He wants. Now, we know that sometime in the Old Testament, He used different leaders to punish the people because of their disability, because of their, because of their disobedience. Because of their disobedience, God would set up a leader that would punish the people. So we don't know what God's plan is, but we can be sure that He will carry it out. If it means punishment or if it means prosperity, we can have faith and know that God is going to do the right thing. So Paul says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." Now, I meant to mention earlier in tonight's lesson, I'm going to be reading probably several scriptures. If you have your Bible and would like to turn along with those scriptures and read along, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, which is pretty much like all the other versions. Sometimes there's a word or two that might be a little different, or a more modern term than for example, some of the readings in the Old King James Version. It says "thee" and "thou" and that sort of thing. So if you want to turn along and read along, we're in right now Romans the 13th chapter. And he says that those that exist have been instituted by God. And he said, "Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." And then in the next few verses, he talks about the rulers are not a terror for good conduct, but they're there to punish the wicked. And he says that the civil government, those in authority, do not bear the sword in vain. In other words, the government authority has the power to punish evildoers. And that's part of the purpose of the civil government. He said, if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. But he is the servant of God and avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. So as far as our civil government is concerned, we have certain responsibilities. And he enumerates some of them there. And it's to live in such a way that we can exalt and uphold Christ. But the authority of the federal government is said there in Romans, the 13th chapter, is also affirmed in Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. We won't turn to that and read it. And also in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, it talks about obeying or honoring the authorities. There are those that have authority over us. And of course, God has authority over the government. So there's a chain of command there, so to speak. And by our Christian example, we are to, our purpose as Christians in the civil government is to obey the authorities and live in such a way that we can maintain a peaceful atmosphere so that the gospel, so that Christian teaching and Christian example can be shown to the world, that we don't go out and we don't stir up trouble and cause disruption of society, but rather we submit ourselves to the authority. So our citizenship is important in that we, in this country particularly, have the freedom and the opportunity to be able to spread the gospel and teach others and be an example of Christ to the world. So our citizenship is important to us, and it carries a responsibility. And we need to recognize that we have that responsibility. But there is a greater citizenship that I want us to think about. And if you'll turn with me to Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to be reading from verses 20 and 21, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. And the verse designations in my Bible are so small, I've got to get it up here where I can see it. But 20 and 21, and here in the English Standard Version, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven. Now, I think the King James Version says, but our conversation is in heaven. But the English Standard Version, and I think I checked the New King James Version, and maybe another version or two, but they say citizenship. But our citizenship is in heaven. And he goes on to say, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject all things to Himself. So all things are subject to Christ. Now, whether we recognize that authority or not is beside the point. All things are subject to Him. He has all power. He said, all power and all authority has been given unto me. But He says to Christians, to the church, He says, our citizenship is in heaven. So we may be citizens of the United States, but our primary citizenship is in heaven. It's in the kingdom of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, turn over there, Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 and 20. He says, for though or through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So when we hear the gospel and we believe it and we obey it, we become citizens, as Paul said there in Philippians, citizens of heaven. And he says here, you are fellow citizens with the saints. So we have a church body in which we are citizens together with each other. Citizens of Christ, citizens of heaven, citizens of the church, citizens of the kingdom. When we're obedient to Christ, we're transferred into the kingdom of Christ, the church. If you look in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, and Luke's been teaching a great class on the book of Colossians, in chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, Paul says that when we're in that kingdom, we are enjoying a fellowship, a citizenship with the saints. We're together as members of that kingdom. Translated, he said, or delivered, the English Standard Version says, delivered from the domain of darkness. Of course, the domain of darkness is Satan's kingdom. Before we contact the blood of Christ, we're in Satan's kingdom. But once we obey the gospel and we contact the blood of Christ, he translates us. He delivers us from the domain of darkness and transfers us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we now have a citizenship if we're members of the church. We not only have a earthly citizenship in the United States, we have a citizenship in heaven, and we are fellow citizens with the saints. And that's a wonderful blessing that we have this citizenship, and it's the greatest citizenship that we could have. So point number two is that there is a greater citizenship than our U.S. citizenship. Point number three is that as citizens of the kingdom, we have spiritual responsibilities. Just as we have responsibilities to our civil government, to be obedient to the laws and to pay taxes and to conduct ourselves in a way that does not bring disruption to the functioning of government or the functioning of our earthly citizenship, we have spiritual responsibilities. Now we're going to look at several passages of scripture that if you'd like to turn and read along with those. Ephesians chapter 4 to begin with. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now we have been called, of course, by the gospel. We've been called to be citizens of heaven. So he says to walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And notice how we do that. He says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And he goes on to say there's one body and one Spirit, even as you called in one hope of your calling. And I've got off on the King James Version there. It says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So that's Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Then if we go to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, beginning there at the chapter, he says, therefore be imitators of God. In this citizenship of being a citizen of heaven or a citizen of the kingdom of Christ, which is the church, He says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. We're children of God in our citizenship of heaven. And God is our Father. And he says, be imitators of him and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Great example of Christ is the example of love. He loved us sufficiently to go to the cross and die upon the cross for our sins. And now we're admonished as citizens of his kingdom, having been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of Christ. He says to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Then we go on in the same chapter down in verse 9. It says, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and truth, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And I think I meant to go to the 18th verse, where he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, look carefully then how you walk. We have to be careful of our conduct in this life, particularly if we wear the name of Christ. We don't want to offend Christ in the way that we live. We want to walk, be careful how we walk, and walk according to the teachings of the gospel. Now, as Brian pointed out this morning, we're not perfect. We do sin, but we can, as children of God, repent of our sins and obtain God's forgiveness through repentance and prayer. It's for those that are not Christian, there's another avenue, but I'm talking about those of us that are citizens of the kingdom, that we have to be careful how we walk. And when we do sin, we need to repent of it and do what is right in the sight of God. Okay, let's go over to Romans, back to Romans in the 12th chapter. A while ago we were in the 13th chapter. Let's go to the 12th chapter. In the 13th chapter, we noticed a little while ago that he was talking about our responsibility to the governmental authorities, that we are to be subject to the governing authorities. In the previous chapter, he talks about our individual responsibility as to how we conduct ourselves as citizens of this heavenly kingdom. And beginning in verse 9, he says, let love be genuine, not feigned, not false love, but let love be genuine. And he says, abhor what is evil, hold fast to that which is good, love one another. And Brian talked this morning about how that we're identified in the world because we have love one for another. He says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those that weep. And it goes on about living in harmony, and do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And he says, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Then he talks about feeding your enemy and giving him drink, and in so doing, he says, you will heap burning coals on his head. It's like the picture of the judgment that Jesus spoke of when he said that I was hungry and thirsty and naked and in prison, and he said, you came to me. And in that passage of scripture, the question goes back to him, well, when did we do that? And he said, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me. So this is a responsibility that we have as citizens of this wonderful kingdom of Christ, that we have the responsibility to live in this manner and in this way. And if you turn over to 2 Peter in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, beginning with verse 8, this is where he says, make every effort to supplement your faith. These are what we call, of course, the Christian graces. He says to add to your faith or supplement your faith with virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we should be striving as citizens of this wonderful kingdom of Christ to add these Christian virtues, to be more like Christ, to walk worthy of the vocation where we've been called, whereby we have been called. Now, also in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, John says to walk in the light as he is in the light. And in so doing, we have a relationship, a continuous relationship with God and with Christ. And that's what we strive for in this citizenship in heaven, is to have that continuous relationship with Christ. Now, in Matthew, the 28th chapter, Jesus gave that great commission. And he said to go and to preach the gospel to every creature. And he said to baptize and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. So we are some of those that have been taught, and we are to teach others. Paul said to commit the gospel to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So that's one of our responsibilities in this citizenship, is to teach and to baptize and to continue to teach. We have those responsibilities. So as citizens of this kingdom, of this heavenly kingdom, we have those responsibilities. So like those heroes of faith in Hebrews the 11th chapter, and if you would turn over to Hebrews the 11th chapter, we'll be closing with this. In Hebrews the 11th chapter in verses 13 through 16. And the writer says, they all died in faith. Talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those other heroes of faith that are listed in the 11th chapter. He says, they all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar off or from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Now, the scripture that Garland read talked about being aliens and strangers or exiles. And we are, in a sense, strangers and exiles on this earth. We may be members of the United States citizenry, but we're strangers and exiles because there is a home in heaven that is far greater than what we have here. And there is a citizenship that is greater, and that is the citizenship in the kingdom that we're talking about. And we must acknowledge that we're strangers and exiles on earth, that God has prepared another place for us. And again, if you go back to the book of Hebrews, or not to the book of Hebrews, to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5, There, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept for you in heaven." And again, going back to what Paul said, that our citizenship is in heaven. That's our real home. Our real citizenship is in heaven. And so we want to make preparation in this life to be able to enjoy that hope that Peter talks about there, to that inheritance that is undefiled and imperishable. And we might ask tonight, our question tonight might be, what is my citizenship? Am I simply a citizen of the United States? Or do I have that citizenship in heaven that Paul talks about when he writes to the church at Philippi? If you've obeyed the gospel, if you've heard, believed, repented of your sins, confessed Christ, and been baptized into Christ, the Lord transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of light, and you became a fellow citizen with the saints. And so, as a fellow citizen with the saints, we're to live in a way that would glorify God by keeping his commandments, by following his teachings, by being an example, by loving one another, by encouraging one another unto love and good works. That's our responsibility in this citizenship of heaven. But if you've not done that, you've never obeyed the gospel, you have an opportunity to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We want to give you that opportunity tonight while together we stand and sing.